bag because I'm just a bit afraid of being overcome by a stampede of addicted toddlers. But this is what you need. Kaupo. The sacred bottle of Kaupo. Now, this is just for display purposes only. I had to empty the contents out just in case there are any young people here who had to run up instantly and grab it off me, but none so far. What you need is Kaupo. Now, what I want you to imagine is that you've got that splitting headache and you ask your mum to bring you the Kaupo to make that headache instantly go away. But instead of bringing you the Kaupo, you hear the sound of the TV from downstairs. You say, "Mum, are you bringing the Kaupo?" She says, "I'll bring the Kaupo in a bit. I'm just watching EastEnders." How would you feel? You probably feel, okay, my mum's got really poor taste in TV. How else would you feel, Grace? Angry. You'd feel angry. Why would you feel angry? It seems like she's putting herself first. You know that your mum has a whole stash of Kaupo in the cupboard. You know that all your mum's got to do is stand up and go and get that Kaupo, bring it up to you, and give you just one teaspoonful, or in the new thing, one of those little, you just got to inject you with Kaupo. That's how it is, really, isn't it? And then the headache will go. The pain will be gone. Everything will be sorted, right? Do you think it would be very kind of your mum to do that? It wouldn't really, would it? To just kind of watch TV instead of helping you. What if she was, I don't know, what if she was busy doing something else, cooking the tea? Do you think it would be kind of her to kind of stay downstairs instead of helping you? It's not hard, is it, to get the Kaupo? But this morning, we're going to see that actually Jesus did something which at first seems the same as that. So we're going to read from John chapter 11. I'm going to start reading the first few verses, 1-6. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Let's pick this up. So I don't know how many of you are listening closely to that, but basically in those first few verses of John chapter 11, we find out that there's someone who Jesus knew by name, a man called Lazarus, and Lazarus was ill. And then we find out that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he deliberately stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now that sounds really harsh, doesn't it? That sounds like what we were just talking about with your mum not coming and giving you the Kaupo. Surely Jesus could help this ill man. And so surely the best thing would be for Jesus to go straight away and help him and make him well again. Is that fair? Why did he stay away for 2 days? Why did he stay away? Well, let's think about it. What are some of the options? Well, first thing, maybe he doesn't care about Lazarus. Maybe Jesus didn't actually care about Lazarus. Now, can anyone look down at their Bibles and tell me a verse in those first 6 verses that we looked at? Tell me a verse which shows that actually Jesus did care. Can you look at your Bibles and see if you can see one of the verses which shows that Jesus did care about Lazarus? Hollis? Verse 5. What does verse 5 say? It just says, doesn't it? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So we can't say that Jesus didn't care, because it says there, Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved him. So it must be something else. Maybe Lazarus didn't actually know, maybe Jesus didn't actually know about Lazarus' illness. Maybe the news just hadn't got through. Can anyone see a verse which maybe kind of knocks that question out? Anyone see a verse which suggests that maybe Jesus did know about the illness? Number 3, verse 3. Yep, exactly. This is, it is just a case of looking down at these verses and seeing the answers are right there. The sisters sent a message to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill. Lazarus is ill." So Jesus knew that Lazarus was ill, so it can't be that. Maybe Jesus was too busy to help. That's possible, isn't it? We know from reading in the Gospels that Jesus was really busy. He often had lots of people to see, to speak to heal. Can anyone see one of those verses which perhaps suggests that actually Jesus chose to stay away rather than being too busy? There's one word at the beginning of verse 6, a tiny little word which kind of says it for us. A bit more detective work here. Anyone tell me what the word at the beginning of verse 6 is? So. And that word so links verse 5, which says that Jesus loved Lazarus, and links it with what comes next in verse 6. Jesus loved Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. It doesn't say but, does it? If it said but, Jesus loved Lazarus, but he had a lot of things to be doing, so he stayed 2 days longer. It says Jesus loved Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed longer. He actually deliberately stayed longer. So he can't have been too busy. Well, maybe Jesus just wasn't powerful enough to help Lazarus. Is that possible as well? It's possible, isn't it? Maybe that's why he stayed away. Maybe actually Jesus was afraid to go in case he wasn't able to heal Lazarus. Now, if you know Jesus at all, that seems pretty unlikely, doesn't it? Today, we're going to find out why it was that Jesus stayed longer, why it was that Jesus delayed, why Jesus didn't go and heal Lazarus. But I do wonder, do you ever hear people asking similar questions in life today? Do you ever hear people asking the questions, does God care? Does God care about me? Does God care about my friend who's ill? Where is he then? Do you ever hear people asking those kind of questions? Do you ever hear people asking the question, doesn't God know what I'm going through? Do you ever ask that question yourself? Doesn't God know what it is that I'm going through, what I'm facing? I had to go into hospital when I was 8 years old, and I prayed that God would fix it so that I didn't have to go, because I was really scared of the idea of going into hospital and being there on my own for a whole night. I was scared, so I prayed, God, please make it so I don't have to go into hospital. Do you know what? He didn't. He didn't fix it. I still had to go into hospital. And some of us have those situations, don't we? Where we're asking, does God care? Does God know? Is God too busy? Is God not powerful enough to sort out this situation? And what about you guys? Maybe some of you get picked on at school and you're like, why doesn't God stop this? Doesn't God know that I'm hurting when these people talk to me like that? Maybe some of you are inside, you're really angry. And sometimes you don't even know why you're angry. But you're like, doesn't God know about this? Can't God help me? Maybe some of you feel really tired at the moment, really weary. Weary is when you don't just feel tired, but you think tired as well. You feel discouraged. You feel beaten down by whatever it is. And maybe you think, well, is God just too busy to help me right now? I keep praying, but he doesn't seem to answer. And maybe some of you have been fighting against the same temptations for years. The things that kind of draw you away, or the things that kind of drag your life down. You've been fighting against them for years. And maybe you think, maybe God isn't powerful enough to change me. Maybe I'm stuck like this forever. Well, that's feels like quite a depressing start, doesn't it? But can you imagine how Mary, Martha, and Lazarus must have felt? They'd sent the message. Where's Jesus? Why doesn't he come? Why is he staying away? Let's see what happens next. Verse 17, we're going to skip forward to verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Lazarus has died, and not just that, they buried him straight away, that was the custom, but he's now been in the tomb for 4 days. The illness was so bad that Lazarus died, and now he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she'd said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? I wonder if you've ever been too late for something. I remember when I was little, there was a Blue Peter competition where you could win some trip to go and see the crown jewels, and all you had to do was draw a picture of the crown jewels. And I drew a picture and I was really excited to send it off, until my mum noticed that the closing date had passed. It was too late. There wasn't any point in entering the competition because the date had passed. Maybe you've been to the cinema. This is unlikely, I know. But maybe you've been to the cinema and it's been so packed out that you've got there and they've run out of tickets. All the seats are gone. It's unlikely, I say, because anytime I go to the View in Cwmbran, it's pretty much just me there. Seems to be the emptiest cinema in the world, but maybe that's because they charge, the same as buying a house locally. maybe you've been too late to get into something. We tried to go to Danarogoff Caves on the way back from holiday once. They were over in West Wales somewhere. And we got there, I think it was about 4 o'clock, and we just missed the time for the last entrance, so we couldn't go in. There was no point. It was too late. Have you ever been too late for something? Well, Jesus arrives at the scene where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live. And it's too late. Because Lazarus, who was ill, has now died. And he's actually been in that tomb for 4 days. It's too late. Jesus speaks to Martha. And what does Martha say in verse 21? Martha says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it's one thing to miss a film or miss a competition, but for Martha to say that, to know that Jesus could have healed her brother had he been there, for Martha to say, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, can you imagine how she must have felt? Mary, in verse 32, what does Mary say? Mary says exactly the same thing. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She says the same thing. It's too late, Jesus. If you'd have got here earlier, you could have saved my brother. And then what do the crowd say? What do the friends and the neighbors say? Verse 37. Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Three people, three groups of people, and they're all saying the same thing. Jesus, you're too late. If you'd have got here earlier, you could have fixed this. You could have saved Lazarus's life. You could have made him well. You could have stopped him from dying. Jesus could have saved Lazarus if he'd have got there sooner. Now, what does Jesus do as these people basically say, Jesus, it's your fault? What does Jesus do? He doesn't make excuses. Actually, in verse 35, he weeps with them. He cries with them. He's deeply moved. And he says this to Martha. He basically says, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You know, it seemed like Jesus didn't care, didn't know, couldn't help, was too busy. Well, actually, Jesus knows what he's doing. He's known all along. Now, do you like films with happy endings? Who likes films with happy endings? Hollis's hand shoots up with a smile that looks very Disney-like there. Disney films usually have happy endings. I've got to be honest, I don't particularly like films with happy endings. And it's not because I'm just a miserable old geezer. It's because they usually feel fake. The endings I like are the ones which mix a bit of happiness and a bit of hope with a sense of reality, a sense of sting, you know, bittersweet endings. Endings that have a sense that there's sweetness, but also a sense that real life is not always candy floss and smiles and hugs. Real life sometimes really, really hurts. In real life, the missing child from the newspaper story isn't always found. That's true, isn't it? In real life, the disease can't always be cured. In real life, the divorced couple can't always be brought back together. There's not always a happy ending in real life, at least not on the surface. So what do we do with that? What do we do with this situation at Lazarus's grave, where everyone's saying, Jesus, you could have fixed this? Well, Jesus says, don't look around you. Don't look at what seems so wrong and so messed up and so broken around you. Jesus says, look at me. He doesn't say the solution, the answer is out there. He actually says, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's see what Jesus means by that. Let's see who Jesus is. Let's go to verse 38. Verse 38, you're following along if you've got a Bible. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Can you imagine being there at the scene? In the Jewish custom, they would mourn for days after someone had died. They would hold the funeral straight away. It's a hot country. So they would do the funeral and the burial usually on the same day that the person had died. So Lazarus had been in that tomb for 4 days. And for those 4 days, Mary and Martha and their friends and their relatives would have been mourning with them. Very openly, visibly, loudly mourning and wailing and crying for the loss that they'd experienced. And Jesus now comes. And Jesus comes to visit the tomb. And can you imagine how everyone would have felt as Jesus asked for the stone to be moved from the entrance of the tomb? When Jesus says, take away the stone, and Martha, perhaps trying to sort the situation in a quiet way, says, Lord, you do realize he's been in there for 4 days. It's going to really be smelly in there. It's going to be a bad smell because for 4 days the body's been in there. But Jesus carries on, doesn't he? He takes away the stone. And everyone must have been wondering, what on earth is he going to do? What's going to happen now? Surely it is too late. 4 days in the tomb. You can't come back from that. And Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine like being there and seeing what had been a corpse walking out of the grave, out of the tomb? It literally says he was wrapped in these linen strips. That's what they would do with the bodies. They'd wrap them up in bits of cloth. Even his face was covered. So he would have looked like a mummy, just kind of stumbling out of the tomb. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine what you would think? And can you imagine how you would view Jesus differently after this? This event is the turning point in John's gospel. Because after this, his followers become more bold and the people who follow him become more amazed. But the people who hate Jesus become more angry because they can no longer deny Jesus' power. As the news spreads that Jesus hasn't just raised a little girl from her bed because she was ill. Because you can kind of explain that away if you want to. Jesus has raised a 4-day-old corpse back from the grave. And if Jesus can do that, well, surely he can do anything. Isn't that amazing? And what I love is that when they were writing the Bible, or when they were doing this all in Greek, they actually had to invent a new word for resurrection. Resurrection means coming back to life from the dead. And they had to invent a new word because the concept just didn't exist. And why would it? No one had ever brought someone back to life after they'd been dead for 4 days before. So is this the happy ending that we wanted? Is it the happy ending? Lazarus comes out of the tomb. He's reunited with his sisters. They peel off the bandages, and there he is. He's smiling. He's happy. He's praising God. He's back to life. Is this the happy ending? Well, yes and no, because I want us to keep thinking about this. It's not the happy ending in the sense that Lazarus lived for a little while longer, but he died again. And the Bible says that the reason we die, the reason our bodies get old and decay, is not because that's the way things are meant to be. The Bible says that the reason we die is because there's this thing called sin, which infects our bodies and our lives and our world. And the reason our world is broken and painful, and the reason there is grief and tears and mourning and funerals and graves and tombs, is because of this thing called sin. There's a worse enemy that has to be faced than just death, because death is the consequence, the follow-on from sin itself. Jesus reversed this man's death, didn't he? Jesus brought Lazarus back out of the tomb. But sin was still there, and so Lazarus died again. So in that sense, it wasn't a happy ending. But I also want to say, yes, this is a happy ending. Because Jesus, as he demonstrated his power over physical death, over the death of our bodies, he was paving the way to once and for all have victory over spiritual death, over the death that is caused by sin. Now, so often when people hear about Jesus and when people hear those questions we talked about earlier, does God care? Does God know? Doesn't God understand what I'm going through? What we want is a quick fix, right? We want God to step in and sort out our situation. I wonder if I can have one of the little ones just to help me for a second.
Hello, it's Thomas.
Oh, hello, it's Thomas. Can someone come and just come and press a button for me? That's all you got to do. Holly, do you want to come? Maggie, too late, sorry. Holly, you had to put your hand up first. There you go. Holly, can you press the green button for me? And tell me what happens. Have a look at, just keep pressing it. What's happening to Thomas? Thomas is running out of battery rapidly. Carpet is clearly not the best surface. I don't know if you guys saw it, but on the first two presses of the button, Thomas did what he was told. Thomas went forward. And that's what the forward button's supposed to do. Now, how many of us treat God a little bit like a remote-controlled Thomas the Tank Engine? How many of us cry out to God and say, God, I want you to fix this in my life. Press the button. God, I want you to sort out my problems. Press the button. Even Mary and Martha. God, Lazarus is ill. Come and make him better. Press the button. Hey, there we go. How many of us hope that God will just do what we tell him to do? Do you know what? I don't want a remote-controlled Thomas the Tank Engine to be my God. Because a remote-controlled Thomas the Tank Engine only has as much power as I give him. It's true, isn't it? It might be nice to think of a God who does whatever we want when we ask him to. God, give me the lottery numbers so I can win. I've had a few people say that to me. That's what they want God to do for them. Give me the lottery numbers and I'll be happy. And God doesn't do that. And you know what? It's a really good thing that God doesn't do what we want when we want him to do it. Jesus didn't do what the people wanted him to do, did they? Why was that? Was it because he didn't care? No, he loved Lazarus. Was it because he didn't know? He knew all about the situation. Was it because he was too busy? No, he chose to wait. Was it because he wasn't powerful enough? Well, no, we wiped that question out as well because he showed up and raised Lazarus from the grave. He's powerful. Why is it that Jesus put people he loved through such a tough situation, through watching their brother grow more and more ill and then die and mourn for him for 4 days? Why did God allow people who he loved to go through such a situation? It's because there was something deeper that he wanted to show us. He wanted to show us that he has power not just over the things we want him to fix here and now. Sickness, disappointment, discouragement, tiredness. He has power over something greater. And he has demonstrated victory over something greater. Jesus is the one who has come to defeat the ultimate problem that we face. And as we said, that ultimate problem is the infection of sin. Sin is what causes us to do things that we don't even want to do ourselves, to fail, to make mistakes, to hurt other people. Sin is what causes us to walk away from God and his goodness instead of towards him. And Jesus came to put an end, not just to death, but to sin, which is the cause of death. So when Jesus, a few months later after this happened, when Jesus died on the cross, what Jesus was doing was taking sin down, destroying sin, and therefore taking death down with it. And when Jesus was buried in the grave, when Jesus had his own grave clothes wrapped around him, he was taking our sin into the grave. And when Jesus rose again, not covered in grave clothes, not wrapped up in grave clothes, but with the grave clothes neatly folded in that grave, left behind, Jesus was leaving our sins there, dead and buried, so that we don't even need to fear the worst thing that we have in this life, which is death itself. We don't need to fear death because Jesus said this to Martha, didn't he? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, as Lazarus had done and was to do again, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And the question I just want to end with for all of us here is the question Jesus ended with Martha. Do you believe this? Jim said earlier that Jesus is unique. No other religion is led by a man who ultimately came back from the grave himself. You can go and visit the grave of Muhammad. You can go and visit the grave of Buddha. All these other world religions, all these other ways of life, ultimately are defeated by death. Death is the full stop at the end of the sentence, and there's no getting past it. But Jesus came back to life. He didn't just have power over death for others. He defeated death and sin once for all. He is the resurrection and the life. If you really think that winning the lottery would change your life forever, I encourage you to come and look at this man who can not just change your life forever, but give you life forever. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And do you believe in him this morning? Jim has helpfully taught us over the last few times he's been preaching the ABC of coming to know Jesus. It is as simple as admitting that you are a sinner. Admitting that in front of God, you're like that stinking corpse in the grave. That God, in his perfect holiness, he can't even stand the smell of you because of all that sin that clings to you, all those mistakes, regrets, failures, and deliberate choices that you've made that have hurt others and hurt yourself. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe. Believe in Jesus, the one who has come to do what you can't do, who's come to take away your sin, to make you a new person, and to give you new life. And then C, commit. Commit your life to him, because if he is true life, if he is the resurrection and the life, then why would you want to go anywhere else? Commit your life to following him, to trusting him when he doesn't do what you hope that he'll do straight away, to doing what he asks you to do, and to being part of his family here, being part of this church, following him until that day where your body runs out of steam and you go to meet him and be with him forever. Admit, believe, and commit. Let's say a prayer. And have we got a closing song, or is that it? Cool. Yeah, maybe do that. Great, let's pray together. Father God, thank you that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. But thank you even more that he can raise our souls from the dead, that he can forgive our sin and give us new life in him. Thank you for Jesus and all he's done. Help us to believe in him, to admit that we're sinners, to believe in him and to commit our lives to following him. In Jesus' name, amen.